Good afternoon. I think it's time to start, right? Good. So my name is Drew Robbins, and I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft, focused on Windows as well as our Visual Studio tooling. And today we're going to talk about the Windows Store. And to set some expectations, we're talking about the Windows Store. I presume that you guys are interested in building Windows 8 Metro-style applications, either for yourself or for your business, and getting them out to customers through the public Windows Store. And so today we'll talk about things like how you can publish to the store, why you would want to publish to the store, the opportunity for you to go and publish to the store. We'll talk about how you can integrate the store into your applications through some of the APIs, and different ways that you can make money. And so I think that's it's one of the things a lot of us are interested in, is how can we increase the reach of the applications we have, as well as make some cash along the way. And so let's go ahead and get started. I heard a funny comment this morning on Twitter. I was following along in the keynote, and someone said that Microsoft should reimagine the word reimagine. We use this word a lot when we talk about the services as well as the OS that we're thinking about in this next wave. And so you saw this morning in the keynote a lot about how we're reimagining Windows 8. And so when we come to the store, we think about reimagining a partnership. And what we mean by that is, you know, traditionally the way that you got applications to a Windows user was to either post them on your site or print them to a CD, put them in a box, put them on a shelf on a store, or provide them from your site. And that was your partnership for the most part with Microsoft. And today what we're talking about now is a new way for you to reach the Windows ecosystem. And it's really exciting to think about this partnership, because just the massive opportunity there is in Windows when you consider how many Windows users there are out there, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. But then the opportunity for us as developers to reach those users with our applications. It's exciting not only for those of you who would be building applications for the companies you work for, but even I'm sure some of you are thinking about, what are the applications I'm going to write as an individual and get them to the store? And the opportunity for you to get an application out there, either whether it's just because you want to get a lot of people using your app, or you want to actually monetize and make some extra money on your app, the opportunity is just unprecedented. And so that's how we're thinking about the partnership moving forward with you, is providing a really easy way for users to connect with the applications that you have, discover the great apps, and get them installed on their machine. And so that's what we'll talk about today. We'll talk about five different areas. First of all, how the Windows Store is designed for discovery. So how we've made it really easy for users to discover the best applications, discover your applications, as well as for you to put your application out in front of the marketplace and make it easier for them to discover your app through your own marketing. So we'll talk about that quite a bit. We'll talk about the unprecedented reach. One thing that I really want you to walk away from this is, as excited as I am about the opportunity to get apps out there and just the massive reach that you'll have through the Windows Store to have users all around the world. Then we'll talk about the flexible business models that the Windows Store has. The key thing here is that, especially for those businesses that are established and are thinking about this as another outlet for their existing business, we don't want to make you change the business models that you already have. And so you should be able to integrate with the store and continue to move forward some of the business models you have. Or if you're a new developer or a person just creating new apps, and you're trying to think through the business models, giving you the flexibility, the options for you to find the thing that's going to work for your application is really important. And so we'll talk about those, and we have some really unique strengths there in the Windows Store. And then we'll talk a little bit about transparent terms. There's nothing more frustrating than to have a process where you dump off an application that you've worked on for months, upping the quality, and then have it be rejected by some process on the other side of the internet. And so we want to make sure that you understand all the things that it'll take to get into the store, and that when you submit that application, that there's no surprises for you. Or if those are surprises, it's just because maybe there was a term that you missed when you're reading through the terms that we provide. And so we'll talk about those transparent terms. And then we'll end with the economics of the store, and just how we've made it maximized really the revenue that you'll receive from the store and how that's unique for the window store over some of the other stores. So let's start out with this area of discovery. Again, making it really easy for users to discover your apps so you can promote your apps, so you can get more and more users over time. We're doing a couple things with the store, and I'll show you the store in just a moment through a demo. We showed it a little bit this morning. I'll go into a little bit more of it. But one area that we know that users will use quite a bit is we all use a search engine to find things on the internet. And we expect a lot of people will be searching for the best apps just through a search engine, a simple way for them to find applications that they might be interested in. Or if they're searching for something else and didn't realize maybe there is an app that they could use, making sure those populate into those results and draw in more users. And so the first thing we'll do is make sure that all the applications exist via a web page that users can access and can be indexed in popular search engines. And so when you're indexed then, people will be able to search, they'll be able to find that application, go to a page on the web that describes the app, and then allows them, if they're on Windows 8, to quickly jump over to the Windows Store application and download that application or purchase it or whatever the options are there. And so this is one way we're making it really easy for users to discover. The other is often what happens is a user will come to your site looking for the functionality that they want. And you want to make it really easy for them to move from the website experience into an experience that maybe is easier for you to monetize or just as an additional way for you to monetize, and that's your application. And so here I've got the Evernote site, and they've provided a button at the bottom left of the screen that allows them to quickly provide a link into the store so that users can acquire their application on Windows 8 and begin using that experience as well. So it's another great way to provide discoverability to users to find your app. So let's switch over, jump right into demo here, and I'll show you a couple of things about the store. And so let me just unlock my machine, use a picture password here, a couple of my kids there. And the store there is right on the start screen. So it's when you install Windows 8, it'll be one of those first live tiles that you see is the store live tile. And the live tile, the store live tile is active just like the others. The notification you get through the store live tile is the number of updates that you have waiting for applications. So as a developer, as you push out new updates, you want to make sure your users come and get those updated versions of your app, and the store will alert them of those updates being available. So when I tap on the store, that launches the application. And as you saw this morning, it's one of these full-screen, immersive, metro-style applications. It's a beautiful application in and of itself for presenting the apps. But the thing that I want you to notice here is that the thing that makes the store shine is not a bunch of Chrome, it's not a bunch of things that we've done, but it's actually the applications that are being highlighted. And so as you scroll across, the things you notice, again, are not Chrome that we've provided, but the actual applications, the things that you'll provide. And when you submit to the store, you'll get a chance to provide all of these different assets for being promoted in these different form factors on the store. And so as I move around here, you'll see that I can browse to different categories. I can do the pinch to zoom to jump to different categories. We'll have a couple different ways for applications to be grouped together. One will be in, of course, these categories like games. And so I can tap on games, and I can see all the games, and I can sort by the newest games, or I can sort by the highest rating, or which ones are noteworthy. I can filter by price. I can look into different subcategories as well. And so that's one way to discover applications. Another will be through editorial content. And so one of the things the store team will do is continue to review applications that are in the store, those that are popular, those that are new, those that look really interesting or compelling. And they'll fit those into different editorial categories or themes that will be displayed over time. And that's what you see on the far left of the screen is a couple of those editorial categories. For example, there's just a category here called Great Apps for Windows 8. In the consumer preview, we had a category that was contest winners that from when we had an app building contest. And so this is another way that we'll raise up different applications and increase their visibility just based on different themes. Other themes may be holiday seasons. They may be different news items or just different editorial content that's interesting to users over time. And then, of course, another way that people will be able to find applications is through search. And so, for example, if I wanted to find Cut the Rope, I can do that. Type in Cut the Rope, can search for that. It brings it up in the search results. I can tap on that, and I find myself at the Cut the Rope page. I can go ahead and install that, or even in the later releases, you'll be able to purchase that. So those are several ways. The other thing you'll notice is at the bottom the top right of the screen is the updates indicator that's telling me I have 3 app updates. And so if I tap on that, it'll take me to a screen. I can go ahead and quickly install all those updates. And so that's how we'll make updates more discoverable. So that's the store application and how you'll use that to just browse around and find new apps. But another way that we talked about is, what if I'm just in the web browser? And inside the web browser, I happen to hear about the great Cut the Rope site, which is written in HTML5, completely works within the web browser, and so I can hit play. You guys can see how great I'm at this game. And so I got all 3 stars. It's pretty difficult. So I won't go any further. I'll quit while I'm ahead. But within this application now, I might say, hey, that was a lot of fun. I'd love it if there was a Windows 8 app. And in the current release, the release preview, the icon actually moves over here to the right. You see the little kind of wrench icon with the plus at it? That plus indicates that there is an application for this website. So if I enjoyed it on the web, and now I want to jump over and get the application, I can do that. Now, Cut the Rope fully intends to monetize their application on the platform. So this is a great way to draw in users through a website experience, but then allow them to jump over to the application in the store and either get the trial, or just if they enjoyed the website experience enough, just go ahead and purchase it. And so so here I could go ahead and install. And then the other thing that we talked about was the indexing in Bing, and the ability to go to a web page version of the store. So we've seen the page in the store. Here's the website version of Cut the Rope. And again, this could be indexed in a browser, but this can also be used in marketing campaigns, right? So Cut the Rope could put this URL out there for people to go directly to, land at this page, and then when they tap on View in Windows Store, it takes to that page. I can hit Install. You actually see how quickly that installs. I'll tap on that notification. That takes me into the application. See, I think I'm on level 3 here. This might be more difficult. Let's see if I can do it. I won't waste any more of your time if I can. Oh, forget it. All right. There we go. So you can dock me on the evals for not being very good at Cut the Rope. So so that's the discoverability. That's how we're going to allow you to find more, recruit more users for your application. So let's talk about reach and just the opportunity you have to really grow the base for your applications as well. And we have just an amazing story around reach at general availability of Windows. So at general availability of Windows, we're going to have the store available as well as your apps. If you target them, they'll be available in over 100 different languages. You'll be able to buy from over 200 markets around the world. And in fact, you'll be able to buy in local currency in over 70 of those markets, including the top 40 by GDP. So it's just an amazing amount of reach just right at general availability that you'll have on day zero to sell your application to a massive market around the world. And so that then brings us to economics. I've got the reach, but how are you going to maximize the income that developers get, Microsoft? Well, one of the things that we'll do is, of course, we're going to do a revenue sharing model with the store. And the typical industry standard is that you'll receive 70% of the revenue that comes in for your application. Okay? And so we have that. We'll share 70% of the revenue with you for your applications until you reach $25,000. And after $25,000, we'll increase the revenue that you receive by 10%. So it'll be 80%. And when you think about some of the applications that are really successful out there in this space, that 10% turns into a significant amount of money in your pocket. And so if anybody doesn't want that extra 10%, you can see me after the session and we'll get an exception done for you. So just let me know. So the pricing. So how do I price my application then? Well, the main thing here is that you are going to control the price of your application. Okay? We're not going to tell you what to price your application at. We're not going to force you to make it lower or higher. You decide what the price of your application is. The prices will range from $1.49 all the way up to right now, the maximum is $9.99. That may change over time, but we have a minimum of $1.49, a maximum of $9.99 right now. And within that, then, we'll have this tiered model. So it'll be something like $1.49, $1.99, $2.49, $2.99, all the way up to about $5 or $4.99. And then after that, the tiers will start increasing a little bit as we approach higher and higher numbers. And so you'll have lots of choices within that range to choose an appropriate price for your application. And we do have applications, actually I know of applications that will be priced at $9.99 that actually come from the iOS world. So those apps actually do exist if you think that price is pretty high. In fact, I worked on one with one of those vendors. So. Those apps do exist. So what about the business models, though? We don't want to make you change the way that you do business. And so we want to make sure we have enough business models available that you can find the flexibility within the store to have a relationship with the customers the way that you want to have relationships. So we've got lots of flexibility here. First of all, if you want to give your app away for free, absolutely, you can give your app away for free. Okay, if all you want to do is increase reach because it's a way for you to market other products or you have another way to make revenue off that product or you just want to get your app out there and have more users, then you can absolutely make it free. But you can also do a one-time purchase of your app. So, of course, people can come to the store, purchase your application. You can offer, and we suggest you offer, trials. You can actually offer time-limited trials or feature-differentiated trials. I'll talk about that more in a minute. But we also allow you to offer purchases over time. And so you can actually say, hey, this application is more of a subscription basis, so if you want to purchase its features for a certain period of time, we can expire that after some time, and then have them repurchase it. In-app purchases are really important, and so we'll provide the ability for you to use our store as an in-app purchase mechanism if you want to sell additional features, but you'll also have the ability to use your own in-app purchase mechanism. We'll talk about the terms there a little bit. And then finally, having a great ad-supported system, especially for those who want to give their app away for free and have another way to monetize it, having a great ad system in the store is important as well, and so we'll talk about that. So first, let's revisit kind of trials and why trials are so important. Well, from our experience with Windows Phone, we've had an opportunity to look at a lot of data and analyze a lot of data about apps that are in the Windows Phone marketplace. And we found that when an application has a trial available, it increases the downloads of that application by 70 times. That's how many people will just go ahead and I'm going to download it because there's a trial available and I'll give that thing a try to see if I like it. The conversion rate on those trials is about 10% across those apps. Okay? And then the average revenue of those applications that provided a trial over those apps that didn't is about 10x. And so they made considerable amount of money by having providing a trial and making it really easy for users to convert to the paid application. And so this is really important. So what we've done in Windows 8 is these two things. One is the time-limited trial. So the time-limited trial says, I'm going to provide this application for free. If people want the free version, they're welcome to use it for 7 days or 14 days or 30 days. You pick the time limit. And without writing any code in your application, we'll handle in Windows the expiration of that application. Now, the nice thing is once that app expires, Windows will take care of that expiration. They'll also take care of prompting the user to say, hey, if you want to run this application again, you need to purchase it. The trial's over. Okay? As soon as they say they want to purchase it, they don't have to reinstall the application. They don't have to download it again. They will simply just run that same app now that Windows is allowing them to run because they've purchased it. Okay? Now, feature differentiated trials, this is where you'll provide a trial version of your application, and maybe you allow that trial to be used forever, but you differentiate on the features that you offer. So maybe there's premium features that you want to make sure they upgrade to the paid version before they're allowed to use those features. And the great thing about this as well is that once we prompt the user to purchase the app within their session, because they're trying to use some feature that you've said is premium, once they say, I'm going to purchase that, within that same session, you can light up all those features. So again, there's no downloading a new version of the app. There's no resetting the session. They just continue on after they have purchased that new feature. So the great thing about this is that we reduce the friction. So when we talk about those, why trials matter and how they increase revenue because of the conversion rate on trials and the number of downloads, by reducing the friction, we just increase that revenue even more. We increase that conversion rate for you. So this is a great set of features. So like I said, these time-based trials, you can select the amount of time that you want to provide the app for free. And then without writing any code, this is all just part of the store setup when you submit the application. So that's a really easy thing to do for your apps. As far as trial conversion, this is something that you can write into your application. So you can actually, in your app, say, hey, you're in a trial version. You can either feature differentiate it or just let them know they're in a trial version and ask them to purchase. And so you can actually prompt the store to say, hey, pop up a dialog at this point and ask them to purchase this application. And this is an example in JavaScript of the API that you'll use. And we're going to go actually in depth with this in XAML and C#. But I want to talk about this important file really quick as you're developing against these APIs. One of the things that will be really important, of course, is for you to test your application and test this functionality that you're building in for doing trial conversion or feature differentiated trials. We have a mechanism that I'll show you very closely in the code, but which allows you to simulate the store during your developer session. And so we have this thing called the Windows Store Proxy.xml, which gets injected into the application at test time. It allows you to define all of the parameters that would normally be defined by the store. And then you can play with those parameters to test different conditions in your application. And so I'll show you this actually within Visual Studio right now. So let me switch over. And let's drop to my desktop where I have Visual Studio running. And the first thing I want to do is just run this application and show you how it works. And then we'll start building in some of the store features. This is called Contoso Cookbook, and it's a sample application we use quite a bit. And what it does is it allows you to view different recipes and different cuisines. It's got some nice features. I'm able to swipe and move around and find recipes. It's got, of course, pinch to zoom. I'm able to jump to different sections. And then what I can do is tap on one of these recipes. I can get the ingredients, read the directions, do all that. It also has the ability to, we've got inside a recipe, you can actually take a picture if you want to show off your great work of creating this recipe. You can take a picture and share that. You can pin your favorite recipes to the start screen. So we've really done a lot of work here just in the sample app of making it used a lot of the different platform features. The thing that this version of the app has that I'm running right now is there's no really integration with the store yet, and that's what we want to go ahead and do. There is a settings pane called About, and what I would like to do is on this About pane that has come out here from the side, is I want to add the information about the product licensing. So I want to tell you if you're in the trial or if the product is licensed, and also give you the opportunity to write from within this application to go ahead and purchase purchase the app. And so let's go ahead and do that. And like I said, what we want to be able to do is test this. And so the first thing that I'll do here is, in this data folder, I'm going to add an existing item. And I'm going to add this license.xml. And this license.xml is that Windows Store proxy information that I was talking about earlier. And if we look closely at this, what it has in it is all of the data that would normally be in the store, like the app ID, the link URI, whatever the current market is that the user is in, so we can simulate that, age rating, market data like the name of the app, the description of the app, the price of the application. And we'll talk about this quite a bit, because you'll have the ability to control the price of your application in the store and then query that price from within your app code so that you don't have it embedded in the app. So if later on you want to have a promotion and reduce the price of your application, or later on you're like, you know, I'm getting a little greedy, I want to increase the price of my application, your app will always reflect the current price in the store. And so we can test all that by changing these parameters. In addition to the kind of license definition, we can also change the current state. And so if we wanted to test the application, what happens if my app runs when it's in trial or when it's licensed? I can change those different state parameters. I can change the expiration date for my app. All those different things I can change here and just test those different conditions. So that's license XML. In order to use that, what we need to do is create a little bit of code that will pull that license.xml in and place it into a special folder within our application data where the store simulator can find it. Okay? This is pretty simple code, and it's outlined on dev.windows.com. And what I want to do is when the application is launched, I'll just pull in a little code snippet here. And this code snippet is going to create that special folder. And the folder is basically, and again, this is just in your local application folder. So this is the folder that your application controls and can store data in. We have you create a folder called Microsoft, Windows Store, and then API data. And that's where the store simulator is going to look for that Windows Store proxy.xml. So on this next line of code, all we're doing is saying, hey, give me the license.xml that was packaged with the app during our license.xml that we just brought in. And then finally, copy that to Windows Store proxy.xml, copy that into that API data called Windows Store proxy. So having it in that folder, name the right thing, is how the Windows Store simulator will find that information and be able to give you the results you want. So let's save that. The next thing I'm going to do is I want to make it a little bit easier for our code to just organize our code. And so I'm going to add just a data source, an app license data source. And all this is a class. And the class, if you're familiar with XAML, this class implements iNotifyPropertyChanged. And all that means is that I'm going to be able to reference this class from my markup and data bind to it. And then when things change in the class, those data bindings will get updated. Okay, that's what iNotifyPropertyChanged does. So it's really just a simple class that has some properties that will be updated as the license information changed. So inside the class, what I'm doing is actually checking to see if we're in trial. If we're not in trial, let me go through that case first. What we'll do is just set a field called licensed. We'll just set that to true. It means they've already purchased the application, it's ready to go, we're not in trial. Okay? If we are in trial, then what we're going to do is we're going to register for an event in the app simulator called license changed. So this lets us know whenever the user decides to purchase the app, the license changed, we're going to trigger this event, and then we can do something with it. And in this case, when license changed, just like before, we'll set licensed equal to true to let the rest of the application know that this is now not in a trial mode. And the last thing we're going to do is we're going to get listing information. And the get listing information is actually going to load the information from the store to my app so that I can look at the current price. I can see the description, the title. I can get all that information that's important to me from the Windows Store. And as you change it in the Windows Store, the application will always get the latest. And in this case, what we're interested in is that price, the formatted price, so we can display it to the user. Now, I want you to see one thing here. We're going to be using this current app simulator throughout the demo. And the code, by using it just directly here, it makes it really easy for us to kind of talk through the concepts. One thing that you're going to want to do is probably isolate where you reference current app simulator. Unfortunately, what it is it's a class with a bunch of static members on it. Okay, so it makes it a little bit harder to exchange it for a real thing later. What you can do, if you'd like, is say I take current app simulator here and I replace it with a token just called store. What I can do is say store equals Windows application model store dot current app simulator. And the reason I would do that is because now I've got that reference isolated there. And when you're ready to go to the store, now it's simply a matter of doing this, current app. And now your application will look at the actual store instead of the simulator. Okay, so it's something to think through. Again, I'm gonna use this current app simulator directly in my code here to make things a little bit easier, but or a little bit clearer. But remember to kind of isolate that into either a wrapper class that you have or this using statement. You could do the using statement and even have a compiler directive if you wanted to that said, I'm going to compile the released version or the simulated version. Just remember to compile it to release before you publish it to the store. Actually, it won't pass store certification if you had the app simulator in there. So, make sense? Good? Okay. So now we have a class here that's going to allow me to kind of bind to this license information. So what I want to do now then is go over to that About panel. And I'm going to build really quick because that renders, just so we have that data model class available to us. And I want to add a resource. And basically the resource is just going to say, here's that app license data source. And we just want to make that available to the rest of this markup in a variable called license. Okay, think of it as a variable. It's a XAML resource here. And so now we can reference that license in the rest of our XAML markup. And what I want to do then is add a couple controls. The first one will be a text block. And the text block is just going to be bound to license info. And license info is just going to say whether we're in trial mode or we're in purchase mode. Okay, that's all license info is. And then we're going to have this button. And the button is going to be shown only when we're in trial. And it's going to offer, you can see it here in the designer, it's going to offer the user to upgrade to the full version. For the default right here is $1. Of course, we're going to get that value from the store data that we provided earlier. So let's just go ahead and navigate to the event handler then and define that. And so we can go ahead and use this current app simulator again. Just bring in the namespace. And on the app simulator, we have this asynchronous method called request app purchase async. And that's just going to tell the store to go ahead and prompt the user to purchase this application. There's a little variable here that says include receipts. And all that means is that if I put false, what it's expecting is that you don't need any response data from me. You just need to know that the license changed. If I put true, it'll actually return and just give me a synopsis of the license that was purchased. In this case, I don't need that, and so I'm just going to say false. I'm going to fire and forget this, because if they purchase the app, then I'm going to get that license change trigger later. So I don't really care about getting the response here. We'll just fire and forget. So let's go ahead and run that and see what happens. So I'm going to go to my About screen again. And so I have that About pane. I have my new button. Now watch what happens here. If I hit the button, I get this pop-up. Now this is not, I get this question all the time, this is not the Windows Store dialog. This is like a classic modal window. That would not be very Metro style. This is actually the simulator that Visual Studio is popping up and saying, hey, you're simulating a store purchase. What do you want the response to be? okay? And I have several options for the response. I can have it be canceled by the user. I can have different failures and just choose these different responses and see what happens in my application. If I do canceled, of course, the license didn't change. So if I go back to about, I'm still in the trial version. If I use the OK response, now the license changed. If I go back to settings and about, it now says, hey, you've got the purchased app, and it's valid through Thursday, December 30th, 9,009, so basically forever, right? So if you did a time-limited a trial here, or a time-limited purchase, I'm sorry, then that valid through would be obviously a different date, and so you have that option as well, and you can test those conditions, okay? So that's kind of the in-purchase or in-app kind of trial conversion that we're providing here. So what about in-app purchases? Now, in-app purchases are really, really important, especially for my daughter, who plays this Angry Birds on her iPad all the time. And so she loves the fact that she can buy past levels. I guess she buys like an eagle. Has anyone played this Angry Birds? There's an eagle that she buys, and then she can like crash through levels or something. And I don't know, she's probably spent more of her lunch money on Angry Birds than actual food. So in-app purchases, though, you'll see from a lot of popular apps, they'll talk about in-app purchases actually providing more revenue for the app than the app purchase itself. And so in-app purchases are really important as well. And so we'll provide you a great mechanism for doing in-app purchases using that same API that we provided earlier. And so again, I just wanted to show the JavaScript version here, and then we'll dive deeper into the XAML and C# version. So again, what we're doing here is we're checking to see if it's in trial. If it's not in trial, then we'll offer our in-app purchase. We load the listing information so we can get at different products that are being managed through the store, offer those products up for sale, and then, again, doing that request purchase to allow the store to pop open the dialog and request purchase of that particular product. And then we'll get, once they purchase that product, we'll get another license changed event, and we can detect that they have now a new feature in our application. So let's take a look at that. So what I want to do next is let me run this app again. And you'll see as we flip around here that we've got lots of different cuisines. And I can go to Mexican. I can get the directions there. I can go to Chinese. I can get the recipe there. But what if we wanted to have some premium recipes? For example, what I want to do is say, you know what, these Italian recipes, they're really, really good. And so we want to make sure the user actually adds those on as an additional product. So I want to make this an in-app purchase. Okay? So that's what we're going to do next. So let me go back to Visual Studio. And the first thing I'll do is in our data model, I'm going to add, stop the application here. I'm going to add another existing item. That's product license data source. So this is similar to the app license data source that we showed earlier. It's, again, something that we can bind to. And what this is going to do is define a couple things. First of all, the product that we have defined in our store, in this case, the proxy XML that we looked at earlier, that product is called Italian Recipes. So I just have that in here as a constant string. What we're going to do in the application itself is we're just going to do a real simple test to see if we're in the Italian recipes grouping. And if we are, then we're going to make sure that that we block these directions unless they purchase the Italian recipe. So in this case, all we're doing is saying, hey, if the value is not Italian for group title, then go ahead and just say licensed equal true because they have all of the other cuisines except for Italian included in the app. If it is Italian, then what we want to do is look in the current app simulator, look in the license information, we'll look up the product, so we just provide a key value pair here for you to look up the product by name and see if it's active. And if it's active, it means that they purchased it, okay? If it's active, then we go ahead and again mark it that this content is licensed. You can go ahead and display it. Otherwise, let's register for that on-license changed event again, and then finally get listing information again so we can get the pricing for the Italian recipes. Okay, so it's very similar to what we saw before, but now it's going against a specific product. So now what we want to do is go to our item details page. And in item details, what I want to do is this directions is the thing that I want to hide. So you'll be able to see the ingredients and stuff. You can go purchase those, and then you can realize, wait a minute, I don't have the directions, and now you're trapped to actually have to purchase that in my product. How's that? So again, what we'll do is something very similar. Let's add a resource, which goes against that product license data source. I'll just build quickly so it sees that. Now it sees product license data source. It's called license. And then as I scroll down here, under directions, here's the directions. This is the text block where the directions were being displayed on the right side. And so all I want to do is just add the data binding here so that the visibility is only true when we're out of when we're in licensed mode. Okay? So if I just drag this in here, what this is saying is bind visibility to the property called is licensed. Okay? So again, if the product is licensed, visibility will be true, it will show the directions. Otherwise, the directions will be hidden. And in its place, instead of showing the directions, what we'll do is show a button. And again, this button will offer the ability for the user to purchase this product. Very similar to the other button that we had. Let's navigate to the event handler. It's called Current App Simulator. And this time what we want to, instead of request app purchase async, we want to request product purchase async. And we'll pass in the name of the product, which if you call is Italian recipes. And again, we don't need the receipt this time. So we'll build that. One other thing that we need to do, remember the little bit of code there that said, hey, I need to check the group title to make sure it's Italian or not. Let's pass the group title in so that they can check to see if it's Italian. So up here on the load state, what we'll do is, I want to get back to that resource we added. And so we'll call that license equals product license data source. And then we'll go into the resources list here and pull out the one called license. That's that, again, that thing I added in XAML. And then finally, what I'll say is group title equals the item that we're showing that has a group property and it has a title property. And so that will pass in Mexican or Italian or whatever the current grouping is. And now if I run this, if I've done all that right, we'll cross our fingers. I can go to Chinese recipes. I see the directions. If I go over to Italian recipes, you'll see I now have the purchase button. So again, very similar to before, what I can do is tap on that button. I can test to see what happens if canceled. Nothing happens. If I hit OK, of course it says the license changed now, and we show the directions. Okay. So a nice simple way for you to do product purchases inside the app. Again, you can manage these products on the store site. You can up the price of them, lower the price of them based on different promotions or products that you're offering. And manage that over time. The application responds to those because it's using an API that goes against the store. Okay? So, those are two ways that we can make some money with our applications. I think next we want to talk about some more. So another popular way for people to make money with applications, especially those applications that they're going to offer up for free, is through advertising. You see this in a lot of the free apps that you download on these different devices. And we offer two choices. And actually, one thing really quick, I missed about the in-app purchases. One thing that people request a lot, and you probably would have asked if I didn't bring it up, is that in-app purchases. I showed you how to use the Windows Store. And the Windows Store, of course, shares the revenue with you. If you want to use your own mechanism to do in-app purchases, you're completely welcome to do that. And if that's a mechanism that you provide, you will completely retain the revenue. And so one of the popular things is like newspapers that have been around forever. We talked about existing business models. Newspapers have a subscription system with their customers already, and they already have a way to transact. We don't want to make a newspaper have to move over to the Windows Store just to transact with them. So they're absolutely welcome to continue to use their own mechanism for in-app purchases, and they keep all the revenue for that. You can use a third-party mechanism if you'd like, and you'll share the revenue with them with whatever their terms are. You have the freedom to do that. And the reason I bring that up is because with advertising, it's very similar. We would love for you to come on board and use Microsoft Advertising in your application. I'll show you in a minute how easy that is to do. However, if you have your own advertising mechanism, you'll retain all the revenue for that, and you're perfectly welcome to do that. Again, if it's your own advertising mechanism, you keep it all. If it's a third party you want to go use, you can do that, and you'll share the revenue with them from your advertising. So we have that flexibility. So then why Microsoft Advertising? Well, first thing, it makes it truly easy for you to monetize your application. You'll see in a few minutes, it takes just a few minutes to onboard and integrate this advertising mechanism into your application. We have a variety of ways to keep users engaged in your application, but we also have a variety of ways to make sure that we're providing relevant ads so that the users are clicking on them based on the categories that you select that are appropriate for your app. So you can make sure the demographics are correct. You can make sure that these are things that are likely to interest the user. For example, in the cookbook, if I wanted to make sure that different culinary type ads were actually shown in my application, I have that ability. And I want to engage them and have them click on those ads so I can make money. And it's really easy to enable, and we're gonna look at that. All you do is you'll download the ad SDK. You activate live ads through this thing that we have called the Pub Center. And then finally, you'll publish your app to the store. People will start to use it, and you'll start to make money. Sound pretty simple? So let's look at that in code. So I want to add some advertising to my application. I haven't made enough money yet. I've got the app purchase itself for $12.99. How many are going to buy my app for $12.99? Is it the wrong price? No? No? I've got the app purchases for the recipes because we all like Italian food. But now I want to actually make some money on advertising as well. I'm a greedy, greedy guy. So the first thing that we'll do is, like I said, we'll go to windowsadvertising.com. And on this site, you'll find the SDK in bold letters there in the center. You'll download that SDK. It installs on your machine. And then what you'll find inside Visual Studio is when you go to add references in your application. And you can do this in XAML apps. You can also do it in JavaScript apps. We provide an HTML SDK as well. You'll see these references. One of them is now the Microsoft Advertising SDK for Windows 8. I'll check on that and click OK. That adds the reference to my project. Okay. So then what I want to do is actually go to the page where I want the advertising. I'm just going to have this on the grouped items page, the first page you see. And I just want the advertisement to show up here at the bottom. And so the first thing we'll do is just add a quick XAML namespace shorthand here. And that will be to spell that right. Microsoft Advertising WinRT UI. And now we'll go down to the area where we want this advertising to show up, and it's inside this grid. And so I'll say I want to add the ad control, and I want to have an application ID, and I want to have a ad unit ID. And we'll come back and fill those in a second. And then what I want is the height to be, we're going to do do the width will be 728, and the height will be 90. And then finally, we want the vertical alignment to be at the bottom of the page. And last thing, just to make sure it shows up in the right spot, I want the grid row to be 1, and that's going to pop it down to the bottom. So now you see that square at the bottom, that's going to be my advertisement. Okay. So now I just need this application ID and this ad unit ID. And if you'll excuse me just for a second, I want to show you the test one, but I'm here racking my brain as I'm typing this in. I completely forgot. I drew a blank on this. It's test client, and then I want image 728 by 90 as the ad unit ID. So what this is right here, what I just typed in, is the is basically a way for you to test your ads locally first. Okay. So you don't have to sign up for an application ID. You can just download the SDK. You type those two keys in, and you can test apps, and we'll serve up an ad for you to test how this works. So if I run this now, I should find an ad at the bottom of the screen, and I do. It's the Gears of War ad. This is the one that you always get for this this test, the Gears of War ad. And you can try different sizes and see what works in your app. There's a 250 by 250. There's a whole bunch of different form factors of the ads. Just look on the Windows advertising site for those different form factors. This one happens to work well within this application. It fits right under those items that I wanted. So now I want to make this real, right? I've done the test. This is where it's pretty cool, because that is easy as well. I'm going to go to the Pub Center, and I'm going to sign in. Now, you're going to actually have to register. Registering is just saying what's my name and address. You'll say what market that you're going to be paid in, what markets you want to advertise in, and how you want to be paid. Okay. Once you do that, you'll be on this screen. And on this screen, you can hit the Setup tab. And this actually has all the analytics for you and built into it. It has all the control over your ads and what's being displayed. What you can do is say, I want to register a new application. And registering a new application, you just give it a name. We can call this TechEd. We can call it Windows 8. Actually, I created one earlier, and it's right here. It's called Contoso Cookbook. Does take a few minutes for it to actually register and go through the system, so I don't want to make us wait for that now. And so I've created an application. The next thing I need to do is create an ad unit, which is going to represent an advertisement element within my app that I want to show. And each unit you can control which categories make sense, which demographics make sense for that. I don't have any mobile apps right now. I have my Windows 8 app. And so again, I could create a new ad unit. And I could say, my new ad unit. I assign that to one of my applications. And then I can select one of these sizes. Again, we have different sizes for you to experiment within your app. I could do a sideways one. I could do kind of square sizes, all of these things. Again, I created this one earlier. So let me go back and select this ad unit 720 by 90. So this is how easy then it is to go to now live ads. So I'm going to go back to my app, application ID. Actually, one quick thing I forgot to show you is down here further on the page is where you can select the different categories. So here I've selected food and drink, which I think will be pretty popular within my cookbook app. You can exclude URLs if there's different sites that you actually don't want to have advertised within this app. In this case, I don't have any exclusions. Open to everybody. So I copied over my application ID. Now I'm going to copy over the ad unit ID. I'm going to replace this test text. And now I rerun the app. And what you're going to notice is, in this case, I'm going to get the exact same ad. Right now we're in a, I did get a new ad. Usually you end up getting the Gears of War ad right now because we have a limited selection until we actually go live with the Windows advertising platform. So in this case, I did get a new ad. And so now I'm live. Now I could publish my app to the store, and I'll be ready to make some money on advertising as well as all these other purchases that I've provided. So that was pretty easy. So now, like I said, we're ready to publish the store. We're ready to start making some money. And this is where we want to make sure that you have a really predictable process. And this is where the transparent terms come in. So first of all, we want to make sure that you know the different things that are required to pass the store and have your app show up in the store. And the first thing is the technical checks. And in the technical checks, we want to make it as predictable as possible. And so we've provided you with a tool. We call it the Windows Application Certification Kit. And you'll see when you package up an app that you get the option to go ahead and run this tool right away. It comes with Visual Studio. And when you run that tool, what happens is you'll see your application open, you'll see it close, you'll see it open, you'll see it close, you'll see it open, you'll see it close. And what's happening is we're testing various things about your app. One is we'll make sure that it's using all the valid APIs within for Metro-style apps that are in the sandbox. So if you happen to use an API that wasn't allowed within that sandbox, then that would fail the technical check. If you're trying to do something where you didn't request permission from the user, for example, the web camera, that would fail the certification check. But we also check performance. We want to make sure that there's a great performing app. And so we want to make sure an app launches within a certain amount of time. We want to make sure it suspends within a certain amount of time and resumes within a certain amount of time. And that's why you'll see your application open and close and open and close. Now, you'll test this on your development machine. But you also want to think about taking this WAC tool that we call it for short and testing that on other machines. Test it on high-powered machines, low-powered machines. If you eventually get an ARM device with Windows 8 on it, you'll test it on there to make sure it runs well on there if you're going to target that processor. So test it on as many machines as you have available just to be certain that you're going to pass these different performance tests. We will run this tool at Microsoft when you submit your app as the first phase of the certification process. And we will run it on a variety of different machines, okay? Especially on all the different machines that you say your app targets. You can say your app targets x86, x64, or ARM, or all three. If you say all three, we're going to test it on all three, okay? So this is the first thing, and you should know that if you pass this test and you've run it on several different machines, then you're pretty likely to pass the technical check in the store. And so again, we'll check for security, we'll check for technical compliance. Then what happens is we'll check the app for content compliance. And we have a set of terms that are all described on the Windows Store website that tell you what things are allowed and not allowed into the Windows Store. Those things are pretty obvious things, like we don't allow adult content in the store. We allow age-appropriate content. We ask that you actually tell us what the age appropriateness of your app is up to 16 and above. So there's no 18 and above, it's 16 and above. And we ask for any documentation that you have that supports that age appropriateness. So that way if you say it's 3 and above and we feel like it's 16 above because someone's head got chopped off in the game, then if you've gotten that certified by several third parties, then you have that documentation there. So there's that content compliance. Making sure that the app has rights to the content that it displays. Making sure that the app has value. We have a couple terms around just making sure that there's value to the ecosystem. For example, we won't allow apps that just produce fart sounds, right? We want apps that have high quality, high value to our ecosystem. All of those terms, again, are described in clear words up on the Windows Store site. And you shouldn't be confused about what you can and cannot put into the store. So you make it through technical compliance, you make it through content compliance, and then you'll be ready for the last step, signing and publishing, and you'll see your application show up in the store. Okay, and then you're ready to start making that money. Well, then you're going to wonder, well, how's my app doing? How many people are downloading my app? How many people are converting from trial to purchase? All those products I worked so hard at putting in the app for people to do in-app purchases, how are those doing? And where are those purchases coming from? We're going to provide the best analytics engine in the business for any store that's out there. And you're going to get all kinds of great information from this. In fact, beyond just the store purchases and the downloads, you're going to get great information about how your app is running out on all these devices that people have. If they're running into errors, those will actually get collected and pushed up to the store for you to analyze and fix and then update your application so that the stability goes up over time. So again, we'll have these transparent terms. They'll be organized around a few simple principles, concise and clear. One key thing here is we won't have application carve-outs. What that means is that we're not going to, at some arbitrary date, say, you know what, communications apps, those are ours, and nobody else can create a communications app. Nobody can create a word processor. That's ours, right? We allow you to publish whatever app you want in whatever category. We're not going to carve out categories for ourselves, okay? So you have the freedom there to kind of explore and come up with value for the ecosystem. So let me actually, I didn't put a demo slide in, but I want to do one quick thing. You get kind of a bonus demo here. I do want to go back to Visual Studio and just show you the packaging process. So I've got this application. It's all done. I've tested the heck out of it. I'm ready to publish this thing to the store. Of course, I'm going to go back and change what? I'm going to change the app simulator to the current app, right? Don't forget to do that. But now I'm ready. And so I'm in Visual Studio 11 Ultimate right now. It's a little bit different than Express. If you download Express, there's actually a store menu at the top level that you can get to these same options. In the Ultimate version, it's under Project, and the store menu is here. But it's the same set of options down here. So there's a couple things here. One is, early on, what you want to do is, as soon as you kind of have your app idea and you have access to the store, you'll be able to go and open a developer account. You go and you say, basically, am I an individual or am I a company? We actually, on the company side, we'll put you through a verification to make sure that you're the actual company that you say you are. You'll sign up, you'll register for the store, and you'll have a developer account. Once you do that, the next step will be that you'll go and reserve the app name. So the worst thing is, like, I've got this app idea, and I've told a few friends about it, and I kind of slipped the name a little bit, and then somebody else goes and grabs the name before you can publish your app. So as soon as you have kind of an idea of what the name of your app is going to be, you can go reserve that, and we'll hold that name for you for quite a while. So then there's different things, like just making sure you edit the app manifest, which has all the kind of information about your application, including the logos, the name of the app, the description of the app. All of that is here within the app manifest, as well as if there's any capabilities that you're using in the application, we ask you to declare those so that we can prompt the user for permission. Again, if you use one of these capabilities and you don't declare it, what happens is not only will your app crash because it doesn't have access to the capability, or if you've caught that exception, then of course it just won't be able to work the way you expected. But also when you try to go through store certification, we'll see that you're using a capability in your code that's not declared in this manifest, and that will cause you to fail. So make sure you declare the things that you're going to use in this capabilities list. So let's assume you've gone through all that, again, tested everything, and you're ready to go. What we can do is come down here and create an app package. And there's two different options when you create an app package. One is, if you're ready to go to the store, this first question you say, yep, I'm ready to create an app package for the store. And we'll go through the extra signing process and make sure that you create an app that's ready to upload to the store. If you want, what you can do is you can say no here, and you can create an app package that you can share with other developers. For example, if you have other testers, anyone who has a developer license for Windows 8 will have the ability to sideload your application using if you create the package using this no answer. And so here, what I'm declaring is basically all the different processors that I want to support. If I want to do any CPU, it's the neutral processor, or if I have specific processors that I'm going to target with this application. If you're not going to support it, for example, if you have some native libraries that only go against x64 or x86, then don't declare ARM, because again, we're going to test that, even if you didn't, and that's going to cause your app to fail. So only declare the things here that you actually support. Likewise, when you get to the store menu, which I won't actually be able to show you here, but you'll have options like what languages and regions that you're going to support. If you say you're going to actually target Italian language, you actually have to have an Italian version of your app or an Italian translation of your app there capable. You can switch it within the app, of course, have it globalized within the app, but you have to actually support Italian if you say you support Italian. Okay. All those things will end up causing you to get rejected if you answer things in a way that's not appropriate. You do want to be in released mode if you're going to publish to the store, and probably don't want to include, actually I think you can include public symbols. You create this, and that's going to go through, again, generate the app package, make it ready for upload. But then you'll end up at this screen. And this screen is where you get prompted, hey, do you want to go ahead and launch the Windows App Certification Kit? And that will start running that certification. At that time, what you want to do is just back away from the computer. We should have it yell at you, back away from the computer. Because what it's going to do now is start to, again, launch your app, close your app, launch your app, suspend your app, resume your app, all those things. And if you interact with your computer, it's going to affect some of the performance checks that it's doing, and so that could cause it to just fail this local test, and then you'll be scratching your head. So just back away from the computer. I'll cancel this for now. We won't go through that, but you'll get a nice little report. We saw it in the slide earlier that says whether it passed or not. So that's how you'll kind of package things up and get them ready for the store. So now you're in the store. Let's talk a little bit about the opportunity that you have. And this is kind of fun. One thing that people often don't realize is just how big the Windows ecosystem is. And this graph gives you a nice picture of it. On the left there, the 690 million is the number of Windows 7 installs that we had out in around the world as of, I think it's March 2012. Okay, so 690 million. Now, if you add Windows XP over this, it's well north of 1.2 billion devices that are all running Windows. The nice thing about this 690 million, as we talked about this morning, is those are Windows 7 machines that are all upgradable to Windows 8. They're all ready to run Windows 8. And not only do they run Windows 8, but many of them run it better than they run Windows 7. And so if you get a chance to install Windows 8, I'd love to hear your feedback. But I found on almost all my machines, they actually run Windows 8 faster, cleaner, better than Windows 7. It's because they've done a lot of work to optimize Windows 8. So let's look at the 690 million. Well, compare that to the other ecosystems that you have to target. Android at this point in March was at 345 million. iOS was at 196 million, and the Mac was at 32 million. And so you can see, as far as the opportunity you have to reach users, and when you compare them to these other ecosystems, we have an incredible, incredible opportunity for you. And so one of the fun things to do is to think about, hey, how much, how could I actually make some money? And so how many people would like to make $10 million? All right, I got a checkbook. I'll get you afterwards. I wish I had it to give it to you. So $10 bucks. In order to do that, build an app. Build a little bit better app than the Contoso cookbook, please. And sell it for less than $12.99. Sell it for $4.99. And that's a pretty good, I mean, that's a decent app. If one of us spent, a good amount of time just investing in a quality application that had great value for the user, $4.99 is a good price point. And so we put that in the store at $4.99. We would need 2,500,000 sales of our application to reach $10 million. And the incredible thing to think about is that's only 0.5% of the Windows audience. And that's rounding up. So that's a small portion of the Windows audience that you'd actually have to reach in order to make a significant amount of money. Now, I would love to have $10 million. I'm not greedy. I mean, just kind of walk down from there and think about $1 million, or even, I'd love to have an extra $100,000 this year, and the percentage that you'd have to reach of the Windows ecosystem to get that, it's an exciting opportunity. Not only, again, want to talk to those of you that are going to build apps for your company and be able to provide a lot of extra value to the company, but also those of you that, as an individual, want to take those skills, build an app, get it in the store, there's a good opportunity here to make some extra change on the side. And in fact, it's the most significant developer opportunity ever in the software industry. And so I look forward to you all building applications, getting them to the store. I'd love to download them myself, maybe pay for them if they're good apps. I'm sure I will. In the meantime, there's some resources. These are the typical slides you've been seeing all day. Please do complete the evaluations that you can enter to win. I'd love to have the feedback. But I appreciate you being here, listening to the Windows Store. Again, I look forward to you building great applications, getting them in the store, and making a little bit of money on the side. I'll finish there and then answer any questions that you have. So, thank you very much. Yeah, question number one. Yeah, so the question is, what do you do in a business environment where I only want my business users to actually see the app? What you can do is, we showed it a little bit this morning, so maybe go look back at the keynote, but we do have the ability for you to sideload applications within an enterprise. We'll have a cloud service that's available for you to actually make those apps available to just users in your enterprise. They'll actually get a portal, either a web-based portal or an app in their Windows devices, that they can pull those applications and install them. They will need to either be unlocked by your IT department, or they'll need to be joined to an Active Directory domain. And then the applications themselves will need to be signed by a trusted certificate authority, which, you know, any trusted authority on the device, as long as they're signed by that, will be good. And then you'll be able to sideload those just to your user base. Okay. Yeah.
Will these apps be able to run on the Windows Phone, and will they ever be backwards compatible with Windows 7?
So the question is around: will these apps be able to run on a Windows Phone, and will they be backwards compatible to Windows 7? And the answer for both of those is no. They will not run on a Windows Phone, and they're not backwards compatible to Windows 7. We do have a good forward compatibility story where you can run Windows 7 applications in the desktop on Windows 8. Other questions? Yes. So the question is, can you do a trial app where they could purchase it for some time, and then once it expires, it goes back to trial? Yeah. So in the case of the Contoso cookbook, there was an expiration date up there, and it was $9.99, so it was forever, basically. But if I had an expiration and then had that expire a day later, then if I ran that app a day later, it would be back in trial mode. Yep. Is that what you're asking? And then they pay for a month. Oh, no, the trial would be, if I see what you mean. So if they haven't paid after some time, it goes to a different version. No, there's trial, and then there's paid. Inside your application, if you did feature differentiated, you could have all kinds of logic that did different feature differentiated, like, hey, I'll allow this feature to be used for some time and then ask them to purchase it. Using an in-app purchase. Some of that will have to be your own code, though. We don't facilitate that in the store. Yeah?
Is the store open before the final release, or?
Yeah, so today we actually have the Windows Store available on the release preview. All the applications today in the store are free. We'll actually start doing commerce with general availability of Windows 8, I believe is the current target. So when we have Windows 8 available to general public, then the apps will start being available for purchase. You can do in-app purchases. But actually, the store is there today. That just all the apps are free. As far as a developer being able to submit to the store, today we require you to have a token. We give the tokens to a set of partners that we're engaged with. You also have the ability to create an application. And we have these things called Application Excellence Labs, and if you put your app through one of these Application Excellence Labs, you're able to acquire a token that way as well. And we just do things like check the quality of the app and help you make it even better so that first set of applications are high quality on Windows 8. So there's different opportunities to actually submit today as well. General public will be able to submit apps starting with GA as well. Yeah. Yes? Yeah. So the question is, if I have an existing app to sell to customers, do I have to go through the store? And so by existing app, if it's a Windows 7 app today, then you would continue to sell that even in the Windows 8 time frame, the way that you do today, probably through your website with a download, right? Those desktop applications will continue to be sold by yourself. We will have the ability to have desktop applications listed in the store when they go through a certification process as well. But even there, what we'll do is rather than have them purchase and acquire through the store, it's a link to the software vendor's website to actually purchase the app. If it's a Metro-style application, one of the new applications, the only way to for the general public to acquire your application is through the Windows Store. If you have an application that you build as a software vendor that you want to sell directly to enterprises, then those enterprises could acquire your application and deploy it through sideloading, just like we talked about earlier. So that's one option for you as well. Other questions? Great. Thanks again, you guys.